True repentance is to begin to defend the cause of the fatherless. Okay, God has told us about this. We understand it. It's been proven to us. What do we do for not being the father?
There's another level about to happen, and it's going to be, as you're seeing things happen, that says we've never seen that before.
Not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
I mean, people are being evacuated for attics in areas never flooded before.
Of course, the biggest tornadoes we've seen before. How could that happen in Boston? How could this happen?
People understand the techniques of Saul Alinsky and how you have to organize things, and you got to keep a continual pressure to be able to change behaviors. We have to watch what the right hand's doing when they're probably, we're trying to be distracted by the left hand. There's one thing our president said. He said that the Middle East needs to be organized.
The future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam. And I consider it part of my responsibility as president of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
When you see Iran building ICBMs, just remember, America, that's God's for you.
But I can guarantee you this. The days when the Jewish people remain passive in the face of genocidal enemies, those days are over. This is why, as Prime Minister of Israel, I can promise you one more thing. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand. But I know that Israel does not stand alone. I know that America stands with Israel. I know that you stand with Israel.
In 2010, the U.S. Patrol Border reported that nearly 450,000 Islamic terrorists cross into the United States of America.
We already know the news. We're trying to change it. The news is, if we don't repent, this storm is coming, and it's going to bring great devastation. We are going to suffer hugely if we don't turn.
We're being organized. We're being organized according to the Alinsky tactics, tactics that were taught by our president for 4 years in practice in his life, but he taught them for 4 years. His mentor was Saul Alinsky, wrote a book, Rules for Radicals, which was dedicated to Lucifer.
You know, Dr. King was saying from the platform of being a Christian, who I believe would be an apostle and staying constitutionally right under the laws, but also, doing his best to walk righteously before the Lord and boldly before his enemy, moving in love.
I have a dream. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
And I'd like to repent on behalf of the law enforcement. Would you forgive us?
On behalf of those families that have been unjust, I stand before you now and we receive your repentance in the name of Jesus.
If you don't know what God's saying, if you don't know what the Lord's saying, you got to find out. Why aren't you hearing what God's saying? That we can turn back to God. We can say, Lord, here we are. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, it only takes seconds for things to happen that could take decades and generations to get over. But if we humble ourselves, God will just hear from heaven, heal our land. He'll stop this storm that's been fashioned against us.
You're about to see something come to pass in the very near future that your mind cannot even wrap around. It's going to be so magnanimous, so awful, so awesome. And the nations and the kings and the politicians of the earth, their mouth will be open. It's going to be a day like no other day. But when all is said and done, God will reclaim Israel and God will pour out his grace and his mercy even upon the United States of America.
God is about to give us mega grace. And the mega grace will produce mega power and mega conversions and mega outpourings and mega breakthroughs and mega gifts of the Spirit. And I don't know how to measure that. I just know God says it's coming.
And God spoke to me. He said, this is the wind of the end time revival. And this wind is going to blow not just United States. Again, there's going to be another greater movement of God's Spirit.
There's seven spheres of we call them mountains, really, that if you impact these mountains, the culture, you'll transform that culture. Religion, we would say the church, second, family, education, business, arts and entertainment, media, and government. I mean, I believe the best days you know, for the churches ahead, but it's not going to look like anything like it looks like now. It's going to be exciting, exhilarating. It's going to be willing to go through things and rejoice in the fact that they went through it.
Understand that we need to build for 1,000 years.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. Joining me today, just in a few minutes, is Steve Kalaszewski. We want to thank you for tuning in today, and we are honored that you're part of this conversation, for this is truly a network that God is building, and for such a time as this. You know, on today's program, we're going to be talking about the security of our nation. You know, right now, you've heard many times from us and really from a lot of sources that our borders are porous. Right now, there's so many people, illegals, if you will, that are crossing our borders, and this poses a great threat to our safety, to our security. There's so many undocumented people in our nation, and I'll tell you, we have to really start to consider and wonder, is there an enemy within? America has enemies, and they would love to do us harm. And now we're seeing a time where before it'd be so difficult, more challenging for nations to be able to attack us and to affect the homeland, if you will. But right now, there are people that are crossing our borders. They're in our nation, and many the government doesn't know about. I want you to listen to Leslie Stahl as she interviews the director of Homeland Security, Jay Johnson, for a 60-minute segment. What she uncovers is astonishing, and you don't want to miss it. Watch this.
The FBI says it has homegrown extremist investigations going on in every single state. How serious is this threat? Is it hair on fire? Every state?
I certainly don't believe in the hair on fire phenomenon.
But every state? I mean, that means it's
the fact,
percolating
the fact that we
everywhere.
Have investigations in every state does not surprise me. We are very concerned about young people romanticizing a group like ISIL. And so we've got to keep tabs.
This is the director of Homeland Security, Jay Johnson. And he says it doesn't concern him. It's not surprising to him. Did you hear what she said? She said right now the FBI has investigations in 50 states for homegrown terrorists. This is important. We need to be concerned. We need to be alert. And we need to be prayerful and watchful. There are many that would try to do us harm. And I'll tell you that our only protection, our only safety is going to be found in the Lord. It's time for us to begin to start crying out to God, falling on our knees, asking the Lord to protect us and for us to turn to his ways, to leave anything that would be, you know, hurt God. There's so much sin right now across the land. And I start to look at, my goodness, what is happening? And how many people are paying attention to the real threats that exist today? When we get back from this break, we're going to continue to talk about this so that we can be informed, so we can be alert, but most importantly, so that we can look inwardly and upwardly as to our response. America is a great nation. It would be a horrible thing to lose it. We don't have to lose it. We don't have to have more tragedies like 9/11. But what are we going to do in response to God regarding this? More, we get right back from this break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Relationships can unravel amid conflict and bitterness and hurtful words. With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. Here's psychologist Dr. David Clark offering his perspectives on why we so often fall short in our relationships.
We see 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, love doesn't keep a record of wrongs. No one can do that without God's help. It's impossible. Ephesians 5, try Ephesians 5, where you love your wife as Christ loved the church and as you love your own body. Humanly speaking, can't do it. I tried for some years to do it on my own. I simply couldn't get it done. That was part of our journey of Sandy and I finding the spiritual bond. All of a sudden, I'm not loving Sandy. God's loving Sandy through me. Hey, that works like a charm. I can do that.
Your marriage isn't all about you trying to love your spouse. It's really a matter of God loving your spouse through you. And you'll find additional insights and trusted resources to help you do that at FocusOnTheFamily.com/marriage.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You just heard from the director of Homeland Security, Jay Johnson, and it's his task under the, of course, he works for the president of the United States, but it's his task to help keep Americans safe and secure. And when you hear Leslie Stahl inform him and us, because who knew? I mean, really, how many people are aware or were aware that the FBI has these investigations in all 50 states, and what they're investigating is homegrown terrorists. These are terrorists that are in the United States, and there's an investigation in every state of our union. That is alarming. And, you know, the mindset, I think, about many Americans is that, you know, terrorism is something that exists over there in the Middle East, but it can't really exist here. Although we've had a couple of incidents, it's like people forget about it. It was only 13 years ago, I believe, right around there, 13, 14 years ago, when we had 9/11. And we're going to talk more about how these Al-Qaeda groups have splintered off, and we haven't decimated them. We haven't got rid of them. They've almost multiplied, and they're all over the world. In fact, you know what? Go to 404 now before we talk about Kamal Saleem, because Kamal Saleem gives us some insight that's really remarkable. But you're looking at a map right now of the Middle East, and you're seeing where these homegrown terrorists, not homegrown, these jihadist groups that have broken off from Al-Qaeda are all over the world. I mean, they're in Mali, they're in Algeria, they're in Tunisia, they're in Somalia, Yemen, Egypt, the Philippines, Pakistan. And then not to mention, I mean, you have in Lebanon, you have Hezbollah, right? And I'll tell you what, Hamas, I mean, they're right there in the Gaza Strip. And then, of course, ISIS. And so you're looking at, man, this is that we haven't decimated these guys. They've been growing. But I think a lot of Americans have said, well, as long as it's happening over there, it's not.
We don't have to worry about
it's
it.
It's not happening here. We had 9/11, right? But then they're not. They quickly forgot that just a couple of years ago, we had the Boston bombing. And, Steve, that was just two individuals. And what I found that was utterly remarkable is how those two individuals, two brothers, shut down Boston. I mean, they shut it down. And for some hours, they had the police. They were going block by block. They were doing searches. They finally found the perpetrators, and one of the brothers was killed, and they captured the other one. But it shut down the city. And you would think just two people. I want you to listen to Jay Johnson, the director of Homeland Security, as he begins to tell Leslie here how the government's tracking them. Because what's happening is that Americans now are being recruited by ISIS and other organizations to go perform jihad elsewhere. And then they're coming back into the United States with training, with a radical ideology, filled with hatred towards Americans, hatred towards Christians, hatred towards the Jews. This is serious. We need to be informed so that we know what to do. Watch this.
Now, as I understand it, of the 180 Americans who have gone overseas to fight in Iraq and Syria, 40 have come back. I assume that you're keeping close tabs on those 40.
We have, in fact, kept close tabs on those who we believe have left and those who've come back. A number have been arrested or investigated, and we have systems in place to track these individuals. But you can't know everything.
More than 3,000 Europeans have gone to Iraq and Syria to fight with ISIS. One reason so few young people from the United States have gone, he says, is geography.
You can't know everything. You can't know everything. And they're trying very hard to know everything. And they're saying they can't know everything. And you look, there's people in our country that want to do us harm. And some of them they have tracked. And this number is reportedly small, but Kamal Saleem, who we've had on this program, he was sent here to the United States to perform jihad.
Mm-hmm.
And while he was here, he had a different change of heart.
Yeah, a little bit of an encounter, kind of changed his direction.
Yeah, he found Jesus, and now he's a wonderful minister of the gospel. But it's amazing. It goes to show us that you can go from a persecutor to a person that's no longer persecuting and loving the very people that you were once persecuting. So there is hope. I mean, there is hope. That's what Kamal tells us. But I want you to see what Kamal's tells us in regarding the actual number, because the Homeland Security Department quoted a little smaller number, but I want you to hear what Kamal says that's actually here. This is from a former jihadist. Watch this.
In 2010, the U.S. patrol border reported that nearly 450,000 Islamic terrorists crossed into the United States of America. 2010. And the numbers are escalating. And what happened, the reason why they know those numbers and they report them, because they could not deport them back, because Canada or Mexico would not take them back. So America is stuck with them. And America would not send anyone to jail. So what they have to do is give them a court date. And because we have no place and no money to spend on them, so they release them back into society and they disappear. And so what happened is, today America is in grave dangers. And why? Because they want to hurt the United States of America, specifically the church.
Kamal is telling us 450,000 from the State Department. Terrorists are in our country since 2010. It's been a little bit longer than 2010. Fast forward 5 years at the time till today.
Yeah.
Steve, having served as a Marine two tours of duty, are we even prepared? I mean, we get a scratch and we're crying out here. I mean, are we prepared for what lies in the shadows?
Well, if we're not paying attention, because there's some that when you kind of look at the comparisons, like you're saying, that Jay Johnson was saying, the fact that, you know, they're in every state. But like what you're saying is, you rewind just a few years, a little past a decade, when you look at what happened on 9/11, I mean, the nation was affected. But what people don't take in consideration is that there were 19 hijackers. 19. When you look at what you were saying as far as the Boston bombing, that was two. Two. Even when you look at just in separate nations outside of America, what just happened in, you know, in Kenya, just there was just a handful of men that walked through a school, and 147. It is affecting a nation. What I have come to learn is that when I was overseas, what I was trained is that some of the most dangerous individuals are the ones that are the nicest.
Wow.
Because it's not someone that's going to shoot at you from 300 yards away just to see how you respond. They're going to walk up with you with a cup of tea. You're going to be introducing yourself. You're going to be talking to them. We would go back, and then we would basically talk to our intelligence community and say, hey, I talked to this guy. Here's some pictures. Here's who we met. And they would say, you need to go back there and roll that whole house. And what I mean by roll up is basically saying you need to basically, you know, bring them back so that we can talk to them, because they are a person of high interest. But just hearing this as like the surface level, it would cause someone to just be, you know, respond in fear or respond in just anxiety. And that's not our intent, because in these types of situations, like when he's saying the fact that there's sleeper cells in every single state, that's 50 states. That at any moment, just like what Kamal Saleem is saying, is that 450,000 people are now in this nation. They're waiting for the call. They're waiting for say, okay, stand up. Okay, stand up. But I can't help but remember and think about the imagery when you think about the 21 Christians that were beheaded in Egypt on the shores of Tripoli. I can see all of their faces, and they all had peace. Because they were Christians who knew Christ. They were Christians who had a relationship with Jesus. They were Christians that said, you know what, if you ask me if I'm a Muslim or if you ask me if I'm a Christian, I'm going to tell you I'm a Christian because I know in whom the one I serve. Death does not scare me because I know the one who is life. When we're talking about this, we don't have to respond in fear.
No.
We can respond and just say, you know what, if somebody stands up in my neighborhood, if somebody stands up wherever, tell them about Jesus. This is not a time to be fearful. This is a time to be bold. This is a time to just say, you know what? Me and God are a majority. Regardless of who comes against me, it's God that's with me.
Yeah. And what we're doing is we're sounding the alarm. We're doing our very best to be watchmen on the wall. I mean, even Pastor Kay Chara, I think about her dream about a day of reckoning is coming to America.
Yeah.
She had a dream in which she was at and I'm kind of giving you the gist of it real quick, but they were at a community gathering. There were people that was, you know, fun activities, balloons and that type of stuff, cookouts. And then over a loudspeaker, she heard, you know, go to your homes. And we're going to go door by door. A day of reckoning is coming. And you got to look at what's happening. I mean, right now, the borders, there's so many reports. We've talked about this extensively on the program. I mean, there's all type of pamphlets and books that they're finding on the borders. Rick Joyner's dream, he saw things coming across the border that were going to cause ISIS, going to cause ISIS to be afraid, if you will, to look at. They're going to be shocked at what some of the stuff that's going to be happening unless we repent. And the question we've got to ask ourselves is, why is this happening? Why now? Why now? And we don't have to look much further to look at what is happening in our nation. What is happening? Is America on the incline or the decline? And when I talk about America, I'm not talking about our prosperity. I'm not talking about our wealth. I'm not talking about our education. I'm not talking about how many buildings we have and how many farms and who we're feeding. I mean, we feed the world. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where are we in terms of the thing that matters the most.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our relationship with God. Well, how's the church right now? I mean, when you have 81% of Christians, according to George Barna and their statistics, Barna Group statistics, 81% of Christians are not reading the Word. They're not reading the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's 101. That's basic. We want to read the Word. We want to read the love letter that God gave for us. And the only way you're going to know a life is if you know what the truth is.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, the Bible tells us that in the last days, many will be deceived. And you're deceived because you're not spending any time with the Lord. And many false messiahs are going to come, and many people are going to fall away. Why? Because they never got a chance to meet the true Messiah. Matthew 7 tells us, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not? Yes, perform miracles, cast out demons. The list goes on and on. But the Lord's going to reply, I never knew you. Depart from me. Workers of iniquity, you know, depart from me. We have to come to a point where we don't know God just, you know, with our lips, say that we know him, but we know him with our hearts. Think of what Isaiah says. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. We need an awakening in our nation. We need a spiritual move of God, and it's coming. Many are praying. Many are believing. We have been declaring and standing firm. Some of the things that God has showed us is filled with so much hope. I mean, this is a wonderful, really, opportunity to be alive, because although we're headed on this downward spiral decline, if at any point we begin to look up, if at any point we begin to cry out to God, if at any point we begin to start acknowledging and confessing our sin and not live compromised lives, God will hear from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2 Chronicles 7:14. But it starts with God's people. If God's people who are called by his name, this is not having to do with the world or anybody else. It has to do with us, the people, the family, the believers of God. And I'll tell you that what's coming, should we repent, is going to be such a powerful move of God. It's going to have so many young people involved going after the Lord that I think is going to be greater than anything that they saw during the Jesus movement. Anything that they saw with even the Brownsville revival and other revivals that happened, it's going to be something that's going to be glorious, and it's going to be happening on so many fronts, so many nameless and faceless people, and it's going to be an awesome movement for God. People are hungry.
Mm-hmm.
They're waiting. They're waiting for the one guy that Ergen Kanner told us about in a previous program. He said he took one boy who relentlessly pursued me for Jesus, and he finally gave his life to the Lord. I tell you, when we give our hearts fully after God, we give him 100%, we hold nothing back, watch out. Because I believe God wants to pour out his spirit. Is God waiting on us? Are we waiting on God? No, listen, we're not waiting on God. He's waiting on us. And all we have to do is turn to him. More when we get right back from this break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
And we want to encourage you today. Listen, right. The Lord is a faithful Father. He is hope and love himself. He's compassionate. He's gracious. He's full of mercy. Mm-hmm. And although he is sharing with us and letting us know that, listen, judgment is upon us, if we repent, if we cry out to him, if we seek him and humble our ways and acknowledge, Lord, we have sinned before you, things can turn. Mm-hmm. Things can turn. Things don't have to happen. And that is our desire, and that is our hope.
Right, and that's why it's so important to partner with us. So yeah. We can continue to be that trumpet. That
absolutely. Absolutely. Partner, partner, partner. We have all different ways how you can do that just by going to VFNTV.com. We have worked very hard to try to put things together in a way that you can easily find it. There's ways for you to partner as a sponsor. There's a ways for you to partner as an underwriter. Just go to VFNTV.com and you'll see the torch on the right hand in the center of the page, and you'll be able to follow. It has some hands around the torch. Mm-hmm. That's your hands. That's our hands. That's all of us holding the torch together so that we can continue to keep the light in this dark world, and so that others can come and be informed and grow in the things of God. Listen, we can do this when we have our eyes focused on Jesus and on him alone, and when we have our ears attentive to his very word.
We want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience and our viewers. Don't forget, we're on the Gulf Coast every single day from Destin, the beautiful sandy beaches of Destin, Florida, all the way to the beautiful historical parts of Mississippi. Over 1.4 million footprint out. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Just the Gulf Coast, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. So we want to be able to be there with you each day, bring in some light to this interesting times. And we're getting some great feedback from you, and we so love to hear from you. Remember our Facebook, and you can communicate to us. We'd love to receive messages from you and letters, actually positive messages.
Yeah.
Anything negative, just send it to Pat. He can handle that kind of stuff.
We have a great way for you, our VFN Radio listeners, to connect with us beyond the program. So many of our VFN Radio listeners want more. Well, we have more for you. You can go to VFNTV.com and select VFN Torch. When you see the VFN Torch, you'll be able to get our highlights where we take the program beyond just what you hear on the radio. You'll see videos, you'll have pictures, and so much more. Not only will you be able to listen to these and watch more content, but you have the ability to email them to your friends, to your family, and spread the word. Let me tell you something. Take VFN Radio to the next level. Get more by going to VFNTV.com and select the VFN Torch now.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. You know, we've been sharing a lot of wonderful things that have been happening in Israel, and it just seems like every day, you know, another week, another month, there's something good happening there. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't had a chance, book your trip to Israel. I had a chance to go almost 19, 20 years ago. I wish I can go again. It's a trip of a lifetime. Go to Israel, shop in Israel. You can buy online now. But we want to support our Jewish brothers and sisters as much as we can. But Steve's going to talk to us about a hospital, a college that's doing some amazing things.
Yes.
Talk to us.
Yeah.
What's happening in Israel?
Well, it seems like everyone has something.
Mishpucha.
It seems like, you know, that everybody has a perspective or something to say about Israel. Mm-hmm. And we're hearing, you know, sometimes it's always, most of the time it's always not encouraging. But it, for some reason,
depends who you listen to.
Exactly.
Right?
But if it's not encouraging, it tends to come from those that are not from Israel. But when you listen to those who are from Israel talk about Israel, it's a vastly different story. And it's like when you hear about what's going on in the Middle East, it's from those, like I said, who are not from Israel. And I came across something that I had to just watch repeatedly, because the more and more I saw this, the more encouraged I got. And real briefly, there is actually a university in Israel, and it's called Ariel University. Hmm. When you see what's happening on this campus, I will tell you, you are going to be filled with excitement about what is happening. Take a look at this.
This is Ariel University, located in the hills of biblical Samaria. Established in 1982, the school sought to improve higher education here, especially in the sciences, engineering, and health. We're standing in front of now a particle accelerator.
Yes.
What is the purpose of a particle accelerator? Does every home need one?
You do have a little one in every home.
Really?
You have a microwave oven.
Okay.
And in the microwave oven, you have a little particle accelerator, and it creates the radiation.
Professor Aharon Friedman told me there are only a few of these machines in the world.
The main research that we actually have occurring here now is cancer research. We have discovered that that particular radiation causes cancer cells to kill themselves.
Kill themselves?
Yes.
Put them on a suicide mission.
Exactly. But all the healthy cells are alive and well.
The university's home is Ariel, what some call a West Bank settlement and territory Palestinians want for a future state. It's also land promised to the Jewish people as an eternal inheritance in the Bible. But you have been boycotted at times.
We have been boycotted.
Who's boycotting you?
European governments, the U.S. State Department.
Oddly enough, despite the politics, the university represents a model for coexistence. 15,000 Israeli, Jewish, and Arab students study here together without a problem. I spoke with a variety of the students, Shira, a Jewish woman from New York, Efrat, a religious Israeli woman, Eli Ron, a reserve soldier, Yasser, an Israeli Arab, and Yossi, whose family immigrated from Ethiopia. Why did you choose to come to Ariel University?
I was looking for where there's a good psychology program, something like an eclectic student body, and I found it here.
Okay, any of the rest of you, why you?
Because of the professional, of course, the professional department here, and especially in communication.
The people here are so warm and happy, and the teachers too. It's a small university, so they can give a good care to every student they see.
Do you agree with what he's saying about the atmosphere, the relationships?
It's a good atmosphere. My relationship with other people is very good as well. And I don't have any problem with anyone here.
Do any of you get any hassles or problems from family members because you've chosen to come to school here?
There are a lot of hostile Arabs around here. And there is a lot of incidents around here. So, you know, the parents are afraid for the children.
It would seem that you could be a model for the rest of the country between Jews, Arabs, whatever. Is that true?
Yes, hopefully. I think so.
Of course.
In my apartment, the next door is Arab people, and we have a good relationship. We don't have a problem at all.
Are you surprised by how effective you guys are?
Well, I'm not surprised. I have to be part of the system here that sends a message to everyone. The thing is that people remember this place from bad times, harsh times when things were rough or bad publicity in the news, but no one really comes here to see what's happening, so they don't really know.
So that's why we're here.
Now, maybe we will change something.
Yeah.
No, because I think that people really think that it's a very hard or not a safe place, but it's not true.
Chancellor Yigal Cohen-Orgad credits the university's success to creating an informal atmosphere where students see each other eye to eye.
Do you have many conflicts here in the university?
Thanks God, not at all. We passed in Israel two intifadas, this university. There was no one evening or one day of tension between Jews and Arabs that study here.
Despite its cutting-edge research, pastoral setting, and quiet campus life, Some see Ariel University as a controversial place.
Have you had problems with the international community or with the other Israelis?
We don't have problems with other universities and research institutes. We have real problems with many governments, first of all in Europe, and part of the American government, i.e. the State Department, that tries to boycott us, formally or informally.
Why?
Because they think we don't have the right as Jews to live here in Samaria.
Do you have hope for the future for peace for Israel?
I am sure one day we are going to have peace with our Arab neighbors. Based on this understanding that we are here to stay, we shall find the way to live in peace.
Scott Ross, Ariel University, Samaria.
Wow, that is awesome. Absolutely amazing.
Is that not amazing?
I mean, it's the young generation that understands, listen, let's just get along. Mm-hmm. You know, we can do this. Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Yeah, and it's just like, I can't help but just get through all the things that are talking, that are being said about Israel. And this scientist was talking about a particle accelerator, and I couldn't help but just notice. It was just like, did you just find a cure for cancer? Is that what he's telling us? And it's just like, this is happening in Israel. It's like, think about this. And it's like, all of these things that are coming against Israel, and this is what God is doing. And it's like, how much more of a significant beacon do you need that says this is God's land? This is what God is doing.
When I heard that, I instantly thought about what Perry Stone shared at we had on our program. And Perry Stone shared that he was told by someone in the Knesset that in 4 years, Israel would no longer be dependent mm-hmm. on the United States. And he gave four reasons, and one of which was that Israel will be experiencing medical breakthroughs.
Mm-hmm.
They're experiencing breakthroughs already in diabetes and Alzheimer's, but now cancer.
Yeah.
And it looks like the world will be coming to Israel to get medical treatment, especially cancer. Yeah. Amazing.
And it even makes me just think about, like I said, having an accurate perspective about what's happening in Israel. We've talked about narratives and the things that are being said and repeated over and over and over. And if you're not from an area, you know, I remember one of the things that when I was deployed, when I was overseas in Iraq, before I left, I told my relatives, I said, don't watch the news, because if you only hear just one portion, if you only hear just one side, you're not going to know the full story.
Mm.
And there's so many things that actually happened on the ground that weren't being told to the Western eye. And when you come back and see it, and it's just like, you know, that's not the full story. And I see this, that these students are saying, you know, could you possibly be a model for the entire country?
Mm.
And it's like, I don't even know what's more exciting, the scientific developments that are happening or the reality that Jews and Arabs are working alongside each other. They're friends, and the fact that they can actually have a community, and the fact that it's just like, wow, this actually is not exactly what the world is saying it is. And it reminds me of a video that we recently shared from Prager University as far as like the media and the narratives. And it's like, let's ask those who are actually in that region, what's going on?
Wow. It's absolutely amazing. You know, when I went to Israel, I felt the same way, because you look at the news reports and you see what comes across the media, and you would think that everyone there is living in fear and they're terrified. But I was so surprised. One evening we arrived in Israel, and I was in Tel Aviv, and it's a very large, you know, city, a lot of things happening. And I'm standing in the balcony of my hotel. It's midnight. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a long night. We just got it unpacked, and I'm just overlooking the city, and it was in a busy downtown area. And at midnight, there's two small children playing with their bikes, you know, up and down the street. No problem, no concerns. And I really didn't feel any concern for my life while mm-hmm. I was there. And so it matters what perspective and where you're getting it from. But to see that type of coexistence, to see people getting along, and to see what kind of breakthroughs are coming out of Israel are so encouraging.
Yeah. And that's what I love, because even one of the students that said that those that think this is an unsafe area are those who have never been here, but those that know it is safe are those that are from here.
Yeah. And what's interesting is that who's boycotting Israel?
Exactly.
Who's boycotting the university, the State Department? And whenever you involve politics, It makes everything so messy, so complicated. Mm-hmm. And I know that you were sharing something else with me during the break in regarding that now with this nuclear, you know, uranium enrichment program and this deal that they're trying to, you know, quote unquote, stop Iran, but not really for this, develop this nuclear weapon. There's things that they're not even putting into the framework that the prime minister is trying to say, listen, at least acknowledge Israel.
Mm-hmm.
What were you saying? You were saying something about.
Yeah. And it's just like you're getting into the international community because, Israel wants to say, hey, you have to recognize us as a Jewish state. You have to recognize that. Whatever.
Iran.
Yeah.
Iran needs to recognize them.
And they're going back and forth and they're saying this. The president of America, his response to that request, he says, the president said, asking Iran to recognize Israel is tantamount to saying we won't sign a deal unless the nature of the Iranian regime is completely transformed. And that's basically saying, that's not something that I can actually do. You asking me to do this, you asking me to say Iran must recognize Israel as a Jewish state is kind of like saying Iran has to transform their entire regime. And it's like...
it's irrational. These things are so ridiculous because when you think about even with the Palestinian Authority, they want the West Bank as part of the territory. Mm-hmm. And Israel's willing. They have been willing to say, hey, we will give you this land, there are some criteria with this. One of them is that you have to acknowledge Israel as a Jewish state.
Yeah.
And so, but they refuse to do that. And it's like, okay, you want me to break a piece of my bread to give to you, but you don't want to acknowledge the original loaf of bread of which this piece I'm giving you from. It's nonsense. And to entertain that type of nonsense, it's just going around the circle and it's really just setting Israel up. When we get back from this break, we're going to continue this conversation. We need to be informed. There's a lot of hopeful, wonderful things that are going on right now in Israel, and we want to share that with you when we get right back from this break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
So you're looking around for a good place to camp, right? And I looked, I saw it all. Oh my goodness, this is a beautiful grassy area right over here. And I'm like, that's where we got to set up our tent. Not only was it beautiful and grassy, it was like thick plush grass. And I couldn't figure why people were camping. I was like, anyway, this must be God because he just spared this place for us, you know? And so we go over there and it has like even this beautiful shrubbery hedge, just maybe about, I don't know, 6 foot hedge, four, you know, 5 foot hedge that's trimmed and plush. I'm thinking this is like a pocket of beauty. You know, this is beautiful. So here we are. We set up our camp on the grassy knoll and we start cooking and fixing food, just having this great time or whatever. We finish eating and we take every single utensil. And we have like a bucket for washing and a bucket for rinsing. And we washed everything. Oh, dude. Oh, man. Hey, we was going to do it, right? Even though we was in the dirt, you know. But we didn't realize God was going to teach us how to adjust. I got some stuff to tell you here. And so here we were washing. I remember I can visualize that fork right now. We were cleaning that thing off and cleaning that spoon off and cleaning that plate off. I think we had, I don't know. And it was just so clean. And so we go to sleep that night on the grassy knoll, surrounded by the beautiful hedge. And all of a sudden, early in the morning, we didn't hear a rooster crowing. We heard an RV crowing because on the other side of that shrub, a few feet away from us, where we were sleeping, was a dumping station where every RV was going there to dump their
stuff
in a hole in the ground. And that's why the grass was so green.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. My goodness, you know, there's so many things that are happening and in Israel, but when we get a simple understanding, it's not as complicated as the media is trying to make it out to be and others are arguing about.
Mm.
The truth is that there is a Middle East problem. But it's easily understandable. In fact, Prager University does a fabulous job at doing this. Watch Dennis Prager now.
When I did my graduate studies at the Middle East Institute at Columbia University's School of International Affairs, I took many courses on the question of the Middle East conflict. Semester after semester, we studied the Middle East conflict as if it was the most complex conflict in the world, when in fact, it is probably the easiest conflict in the world to explain. It may be the hardest to solve, but it is the easiest to explain. In a nutshell, it's this. One side wants the other side dead. Israel wants to exist as a Jewish state and to live in peace. Israel also recognizes the right of Palestinians to have their own state and to live in peace. The problem, however, is that most Palestinians and many other Muslims and Arabs do not recognize the right of the Jewish state of Israel to exist. This has been true since 1947, when the United Nations voted to divide the land called Palestine into a Jewish state and an Arab state. The Jews accepted the United Nations partition, but no Arab or any other Muslim country accepted it. When British rule ended on May 15, 1948, the armies of all the neighboring Arab states, Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Transjordan, and Egypt, attacked the one-day-old state of Israel in order to destroy it. But to the world's surprise, the little Jewish state survived. Then it happened again. In 1967, the dictator of Egypt, Gamal Abdel Nasser, announced his plan, in his words, to destroy Israel. He placed Egyptian troops on Israel's border, and armies of surrounding Arab countries were also mobilized to attack. However, Israel preemptively attacked Egypt and Syria. Israel did not attack Jordan and begged Jordan's king not to join the war. But he did. And only because of that did Israel take control of Jordanian land, specifically the West Bank of the Jordan River. Shortly after the war, the Arab states went to Khartoum, Sudan, and announced their famous three no's. No recognition, no peace, and no negotiations. What was Israel supposed to do? Well, one thing Israel did a little more than a decade later in 1978 was to give the entire Sinai Peninsula, an area of land bigger than Israel itself and with oil, back to Egypt, because Egypt, under new leadership, signed a peace agreement with Israel. So Israel gave land for the promise of peace with Egypt, and it has always been willing to do the same thing with the Palestinians. All the Palestinians have ever had to do is recognize Israel as a Jewish state and promise to live in peace with it. But when Israel has proposed trading land for peace, as it did in 2000, when it agreed to give the Palestinians a sovereign state in more than 95% of the West Bank and all of Gaza, the Palestinian leadership rejected the offer and instead responded by sending waves of suicide terrorists into Israel. Meanwhile, Palestinian radio, television, and school curricula remain filled with glorification of terrorists, demonization of Jews, and the daily repeated message that Israel should cease to exist. So it's not hard to explain the Middle East dispute. One side wants the other dead. The motto of Hamas, the Palestinian rulers of Gaza, is, "We love death as much as the Jews love life." There are 22 Arab states in the world, stretching from the Atlantic Ocean to the Indian Ocean. There is one Jewish state in the world, and it is about the size of New Jersey. In fact, tiny El Salvador is larger than Israel. Finally, think about these two questions. If tomorrow Israel laid down its arms and announced, "We will fight no more," what would happen? And if the Arab countries around Israel laid down their arms and announced, "We will fight no more," what would happen? In the first case, there would be an immediate destruction of the state of Israel and mass murder of its Jewish population. In the second case, there would be peace the next day. As I said at the outset, it is a simple problem to describe. One side wants the other dead. And if it didn't, there would be peace. Please remember this. There has never been a state in the geographic area known as Palestine that was not Jewish. Israel is the third Jewish state to exist in that area. There was never an Arab state, never a Palestinian state, never a Muslim or any other state. That's the issue. Why can't the one Jewish state the size of El Salvador be allowed to exist? That is the Middle East problem. I'm Dennis Prager.
Sums it up pretty good for us.
Oh, yeah.
This is not a difficult problem to understand. When you look at what Israel's been willing to do time and time again, who does that, Steve? Who gives up the spoils of war and says, oh, we're going to give you back this oil property that we, that mm-hmm. piece of land that we won after you attacked us?
Which is bigger than Israel.
Hello, we're going to give it to you back. Yeah. And, you know, there's been peace ever since between that board for that peace agreement. It's just huge. I think that Israel has proven time and time again that they are willing to work with the Palestinians. They're willing to work with any of the Arab countries, but they insist on peace. This is mm-hmm. this is a normal thing to insist upon. I love what Dennis Prager said. He said if Israel decides to say, you know, we're going to fight no more, and if the Palestinians say we're going to fight no more, what would happen? Mm-hmm. Well, in the case of the Jews saying we're not going to fight anymore, then they would be dead because all they're fighting is defensible fighting.
Right.
They're not instigating any fighting. But if the Palestinians, you know, continue or they, you know, say we're not going to fight anymore, then there's peace since they're the ones that are doing all the attacking and stirring it up. Listen, it's simple. There can be peace in Jerusalem, and we're encouraged in the Word of God to pray for peace. In fact, Steve, won't you lead us in a prayer as we close out today's program for Israel and the peace of Jerusalem?
Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for the truth about what is really happening in Israel. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that you are the Father over all of Israel, Lord, and you are backing up Israel. You are protecting Israel, and you're in control, that no matter who comes against Israel, you are still in control, that whoever curses Israel will be cursed, but whoever blesses Israel will be blessed. And we thank you now, Lord, for the mighty victories that are coming in the name of Jesus. And we say, save Israel, Lord. May your kingdom come in all of Israel, in all of those that are in Israel. And we say, have your way, God.
Peace,
in Jesus'
peace
name.
To Jerusalem.
Peace to Jerusalem, Lord. In Jesus' name, God.
Amen.
Amen.
Uniquely Yours Boutique by Debbie on 9 Mile Road, where you'll find fashion, accessories, earrings, jewelry, candles, shoes, baby items, and so much more. And as always, free embroidery with every purchase. This is one boutique shop you don't want to miss. Mark Downey & Associates is a real estate firm that specializes in property management and high-end home sales. The secret to their success is simple: aggressive marketing and an intense passion for serving others. Call Mark Downey's team today. Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, now with two locations to better serve your needs. Downtown and off 9th Avenue in Pensacola, Florida. Visit or call to learn more about self-defense. Don't be a victim. We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information. Phone numbers, web addresses, emails, call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
But a conversation, you'll be surprised because you have to keep your brain active. And personally, you know, and this is how my brain works, and maybe if you're a different kind of design of a brain, you have to have complete silence so you can hear yourself, talk to yourself. I don't need to talk to myself. And you have to hear yourself think. Yeah, look at that. His eyes roll up in his head. He goes, that's true. That's actually, I needed to hear myself think. They're the ones who go, shh, I'm thinking.
Yeah. 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 Right. Yeah, no noise.
All you do is snap your fingers and they're lost. Where am I? What happened? But to me, it just makes my brain just fire off everything. And I just love to hear good, you know, positive, you know, conversation. And there's nothing more positive than talking about the things of God and God's perspective behind the news and, you know, wisdom moments. Think about wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. You can go to college for, you know, 4 years, 6 years, 8 years, and you can be knowledgeably ignorant.
Ignorant.
And it's a shocker, you know. Doctor, see right here, this is how you start your car. You know, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because there's so much knowledge, it's like, but you got to have wisdom on how to apply that knowledge. And we hope, you know, in the conversations that we're having, we're sharing with you the wisdom that God has revealed to us. How do you live your day-to-day life? That's wisdom. How do I apply, you know, the Word of God to my life, the commandments of God and all that? And just, it's just, I love VFN Radio. You know, when I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it because it's the Word of God. It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you to get a device, a radio or an I something or an something, and put it on your desk at work and, you know, put it by the kitchen sink and just carry it with you or whatever and just listen. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it. 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world, you can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment, that you just like catch a half of it,
mm-hmm.
don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment. The whole segment. And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices, and podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker on the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says this is a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee
mm-hmm.
while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really mean it. You know, they aren't faking it. It's just like, mm-hmm. what?